Hi there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and this is your show. This is where we all come together, and we share our lived experiences and our understanding of things that are going on in the world and with us, and we learn and grow together, okay? So that's how it works on Take Two. We are live, and we have Matt on the phones, and I'd love for you to weigh in, and here is the question. It's pretty heavy, but let's talk about it. Is there someone you just can't bring yourself to forgive? Is there someone in your life you just can't bring yourself to forgive? Let's talk about it. Okay, let's really have a deep, honest discussion about this and see if we can come to a better, you know, just a better spiritual plan or path to be able to forgive. 833-288-EWTN is the number to call. 833-288-3986. If you don't have time to call in and wait for a little bit to get on air with us, then you can always text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response, then you text us your first name and that person that is just, they're just so hard to forgive. Just know that message and data rates may apply. Why is it so hard to forgive someone? Maybe they're still hurting you, you know, on a regular basis. And so it's, you know, you try to forgive, but then they hurt you again. And it's really, really painful. It's a tough situation. I've struggled with this on many levels with different people. And it's a tough thing. Ultimately, we know that we don't want to land in purgatory for a long period of time because of unforgiveness. So we do have to try to, you know, go into the process of forgiveness, right? And also, I've learned this from Adam Bly, and ask Jesus to step in and make up the rest. So we do our part, which may be a very little, and we ask Jesus to do the rest and to help us forgive, because we don't want to carry this with us into the next life. So it's really important that we talk about this. Is there someone you just can't bring yourself to forgive? I know this happened with my mother and father-in-law when they lost their son when he was shot and killed, when he was working, he was doing work on the side of the road and on a highway, for a company, and somebody just really was having a bad day, and they took it out on the van, and my brother-in-law was in the van, and they shot and killed him. And my mother and father-in-law, to the day they died, they could not forgive this person, even though they caught the person. He went to prison. He was sorry for what he did. But my mother and father-in-law just couldn't bring themselves before they passed to forgive this person. That was unfortunate for them. I really think it was, because I think it aged them rapidly, and then obviously caused, I think, a premature death, because it was just so hard on them mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And so they just could not bring themselves to the point where they could actually say that they forgive this person, even though he was doing his time and he was very remorseful for what he did. But because they lost their oldest son in such a tragic, horrible way, he was shot several times in the chest and died. It was just brutal. They could not get that out of their head. And that happens sometimes when you're so wounded by what someone else can do to you. It just really overwhelms you. And that could be you. So is there someone you just can't bring yourself to forgive because they hurt you just so badly? And it's so difficult for you to take that next step and really forgive them, because what they did was so wrong, and it was an injustice, and it was horrible, and it's not of God. And you could sense that the devil had his fingerprints all over it. You know, see, I get this. Believe me, I've been through a lot of hurt in my life, so I understand it. But we want you to weigh in. It's very important. Jerry's going to be joining us shortly. We do have phone lines lighting up. That is great. I do need to hear from you, though. So we're talking about forgiveness today. Is there someone you just can't bring yourself to forgive? Or maybe you did make that step, that big, gigantic step, and you asked Jesus to really help, and you were able to forgive. And what did that do for you spiritually? Could you share that with us? The details are so very important, because you'll be helping other souls today. And that is a very good thing. And we believe it's very pleasing to God. So the number is 833-288-EWTN. It's 833-288-3986. 833-288-3986. If it's a longer story, you can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. Also find me on my personal page, Debbie Giorgiani. Please follow me there. If I come across any articles, I always post them to make sure that we can continue the conversation. We do have a couple open phone lines. I'd love to hear from you about this idea of that person, or maybe there's more than one, that you just can't bring yourself to say the words, I forgive you. You know, I mean, that it's tough. Believe me, it's tough. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting in preparing for this show. Yesterday, I was hit with something from the past of someone that really has hurt me in the past. This morning, it just resurfaced today. And I find that so interesting because it, you know, given that the topic is there someone you just can't bring yourself to forgive? So it kind of hit me square in the face, you know, like, right. It was so obvious. And I thought, okay, Lord, so this is my opportunity to practice forgiveness again. And I think forgiveness is sometimes an ongoing process, right? And you really have to work at it and really increase your trust in God. And it's tough. I mean, it still hurts. It's going to hurt. And it doesn't mean you have to forget what people have done to you. It doesn't mean you have to just, you know, act like there's no way you even you know, remember it anymore, but you don't have to hold on to it so that it just weighs you down. And that's what God doesn't want for any of us. And so forgiveness is something that we're all going to have to probably face. And oftentimes we can go into eternal life with carrying a lot of unforgiveness in our hearts. And that's tough because that'll definitely put us in a purgatory situation. So if you want to avoid purgatory, practice forgiveness on this side of the veil. I think that's what the best bet is. So is there someone you just can't bring yourself to forgive? Let's talk about it. Fill up those last two phone lines. That's it. And I'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And you don't have to be Catholic to call in. Who's going to lead the discussion? That would be Susan from Louisiana, coming up right after this very short break. Stay with us. Okay, Susan from Louisiana, hold on just a little bit longer. I wanted to share with our listeners about that what we're talking about today. We're talking about that person that's just so hard to forgive. If you have something to say about this, I need you to call in right now. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. Just if you feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit, just say yes and call in. Before we get to Susan, I wanted to share about this painted wood look 5-piece nativity. In preparing our hearts and homes for the Advent and Christmas season, EWTN Religious Catalog is your home for beautiful nativities to remind us of the upcoming of the coming of Christ's birth. A 5-piece nativity is painted to look like fine Italian wood carved figures with a delicately stained finish. It includes Joseph, Mary, baby Jesus in the manger, and a shepherd and a sheep. This set is made of resin with the tallest figurine, St. Joseph, measuring a little over 10 inches tall. It's available right now at EWTNRC.com. Free standard shipping of online orders, $75 or more. Standard shipping is for the continental U.S. only. Use code FREE at checkout. Okay, just a friendly reminder that EWTNRC.com has some great items for Christmas. I just placed an order. I just got my delivery yesterday. It's fabulous. Okay, there goes the first set of calls. The phone lines are full. You can keep calling. We have an on deck waiting area, so we can take as many calls as possible. So just go ahead and call in if you have something to say about this. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Okay, Susan from Louisiana on Sirius XM 130. You are leading the discussion. Go ahead, Susan. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My issue was, You know, I called a few months back, and, you know, to, you know, you're talking about forgiving somebody. I was diagnosed with breast cancer about 2 years ago, and the DON, who's supposed to also been my friend, right after I told him we had everything planned for me to get my chemo and still work on the Saturdays, and she goes, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, that's a good idea. 2 to 3 hours later, I got called to the administrator's office, and I was a treatment manager. I was in charge of everybody's skin issues and everything like that in that big nursing home. And she called me in there. They took my title from me. They took my office from me. They took everything from me except, of course, my pay, which, you know, I got the highest paycheck right now up there, even though I only work 4 days a week. And they just took everything from me. And the main issue that I had, and it's not because she got the cancer, you know, stuff like that, is that I have to work every Saturday because I'm an RN, and they have to have an RN up there to make 8-hour coverage. Well, I don't usually get out of there in 8 hours. I'm usually there. It's about 9, 10 o'clock at night. I don't get to go to church. I don't get to go to the Saturday Mass at 4 o'clock. So finally, I went and asked them, I said, look, can I come in late on Sunday morning because there's a Mass out on the lake for Mass at 8 o'clock? Can I come in late and go to church? I said, because I told my new administrator, I said, look, I really, really need to go to church. I said, because if I don't, I'm really going to hurt people's feelings around here. I said, because I... And one of these people that say, I need God, and I especially need it when I go to church. And my administrator said, yes, you sure can. And, you know, because, you know, you can't be divided up into hours. You got to work the whole straight hours of RN in a nursing home. And so I couldn't even go to the 10 o'clock Mass if I came to work because I couldn't leave it. And so I have an issue with the DON that left and became a corporate nurse, and I hadn't seen her but maybe once or twice. And when I do see her, it's like just something just gets into my mind and my soul, and I'm like, you know, really want to get up to pop her in the head, you know. And I'm too old for that, but that's what I want to do to her. And it's like, geez. And so I go away from her, I stay away from her, and stay away from the people that cause all this stuff, and just keep praying. In fact, right now I got a rosary on top of my car deck right here. It's for me to go and pray after I get to take care of one of these residents here.
Mm. Wow.
I do two jobs.
I
do nursing home and hospice.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say that, boy, you are constantly giving to others, and then you were treated this way. I'm so sorry, Susan. I mean, I'm sorry you had to go through that. You know, have you ever noticed this, that those who have a very giving heart, those that are very generous with their time, and those that really care about others seem to get hurt the most? Have you ever noticed that, Susan?
Yes, ma'am. And in fact, I have a boyfriend. Every time I do something and somebody, you know, turns around and treats me mean, treats me ugly, you know, he said, why are you doing this? He said, tell him to kiss your butt and say no. Learn to say no. I said, I can't. I said, I've tried saying no. And I said, it's not into me. If I got the skills of being a nurse like I do, and when they get kicked out of the nursing home because the insurance doesn't cover it, but they still need somebody to take care of their wounds, I get off work and I go to their house and take care of them. I tell them, I didn't become a nurse because of the money. I became a nurse because I could help people.
Yeah. And that's so Christ-like, Susan. So I guess what we need to learn from this is that, you know, we're not going to find, you know, loyalty and things like that many times on this side of the veil. But what we can be assured of is that God sees our hearts and knows what our intentions are. And hopefully that will gain us, you know, something, you know, better, you know, and brighter in heaven, right? And so we go for the bigger prize, Susan. And I do think people are very disappointing at times, especially if you call them a friend and you trust them and you think like, well, they really get me, they understand me, you know, and then it turns out that they're really not a friend at all, or they do something that's a betrayal or really just hurtful. It's so sad because it really, like, you can really get stung in a deep way, and it hurts deeply because it makes you feel like, well, who can I trust, right? Well, we know who we can trust, and that is we put all our trust in God, right? We put all of our trust in God, and people are wounded. They are sinful. They're going to make bad choices. They're going to say bad things. They're going to do things that are not always right. And that's just the way it is in this broken world. And so what I love about you, Susan, it doesn't sound like it has changed your heart at all. You're still a beautiful soul wanting to help others. And I pray for you just abundant graces and blessings and just strength to continue this journey called life.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Susan, you're awesome. And we already got kudos to Susan coming in from the Take Two family. So thank you for leading this discussion. Okay, we're going to move to Wisconsin, and that's where Angelo is on WSFI. Hi, Angelo. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. You go right ahead.
Okay, well, my wife, Debbie, she was the kind of person that would give you a shirt off her back. And 6 months after we semi-retired, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Mm. And she went to treatment. I took her every morning, 13 weeks, radiation and chemo, doctor's appointments 2 or 3 times a week. And her sister, they had a good relationship. Everything was fine. I mean, they were close. I saw them as being close. Well, halfway through the treatment, you know, I still worked part-time, and I told her sister that, you know, I'm trying to get Debbie all the treatments that she needs so we can get her as healthy as possible and maybe beat this thing. And I still want to keep ourselves financially healthy as well. So if you can come down a few times a week, she lived in Wisconsin as well, about a half hour away, you know, that would really free me up to go do my freelance work. And what she said to me was, I don't know what to tell you. And that hurt me. Mm. Debbie, who I lost after a year and a half of battle, found out about this. And financially, it hurt us. The last time I spoke to her sister was about a year after we lost Debbie. And she had some kind of tumor that they were removing. And she said to me, she goes, I wish Debbie was here. And the last thing I said to her was, now I know how your sister felt. And I hung up the phone.
Ooh, yeah.
I can't bring myself to forgive her.
Hmm. Have you ever asked her why she chose to step out of helping? Have you ever asked her, well, like, what was she thinking back then? Have you ever?
I bumped into my brother-in-law, her husband, in town, and this was about a year later. And he said, "I cannot excuse what my wife did. She just couldn't see Debbie that way."
Mm, that's what I thought. Okay.
Right. But her brother, we lost 2 years before Debbie to cancer, and she had no problem going down to be with him.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah.
And if the shoe was reversed, if her sister was the one that was terminal, I know for a fact that Debbie said, you know what? Order DoorDash because I'll be at Debbie's, I'll be at my sister's house. Mm-hmm. And I just can't bring myself. I mean, I'm Catholic. I go to church. But I just can't do it.
Okay, but you don't want to land in purgatory over this.
It haunts me to this day.
Right.
That she had to pass away knowing this. And she even said to me, do you want me to call my sister and fix this? And I said, no.
Okay. All right, was Debbie able to come to grips with this before she passed, Angelo?
I How can you?
Well, I have to tell you something, though. Family can be the most hurtful. I have to tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a life coach for 20 years, and friends actually aren't so bad. Family can be really brutal. So it's just the way family is, because they know you from childhood. They can predict you. They you grew up together. You have all these memories, all these experiences, good and bad. And it's just odd. And the boundaries can get blurred. Things can be said. I mean, family can be really tough at times. It sounds like your sister-in-law was dealing with a lot of emotional things that she wasn't able to maybe express in a way that could be helpful. Rather, she chose to, you know, step out, and it was hurtful to you. But my question to you is, let's not even think about your sister for a second, or your sister-in-law for a second. First of all, I'm so sorry for the loss of your beautiful wife, Debbie. I put you guys in the prayer book, and I put Debbie in the prayer book as well. But I just want to say this, Angelo, you don't want to end up in purgatory over this. It's not worth it. It really isn't. Purgatory is horrible. It's terrible. People think, oh, I'll just get into purgatory, it'll be easy. They say it's like worse than any of the most difficult days here on earth, like a million times more. So it's not easy. Could you find it maybe in your heart to do a little bit to forgive her and then ask Jesus to come in and do the rest?
I've thought about making amends, and you know, we didn't have a screaming match, nothing like that. Just what I told you is what happened. I've thought about reaching out to my brother-in-law and her and get together for dinner and hash this out or talk it out and see what she has to say for herself. But I just can't bring myself to do it. But, you know, you talk about purgatory with me. Where's she going?
Well, yeah, but we don't worry about that, because remember though, I totally understand, because what she did was not nice. I get that. I totally understand that. But remember, unforgiveness is what lands us in purgatory. So you don't want to carry unforgiveness with you. Don't worry about what she's got on her soul. Worry about yourself, because that's very important. So what is maybe could you think about not necessarily fully forgiving her, but just put your toe in the water a little bit, Angelo, and ask Jesus to do
the
rest.
I understand she didn't want to see her like that. Well, I don't want to see her like that either.
Right. Well, maybe you could just, maybe instead of, you know, rehashing it or hashing it out or however you want to try to solve it, maybe just say to her, you're my sister-in-law. I don't want to carry unforgiveness in my heart. What you did and how you didn't show up for me and for our family and for your sister really hurt me. But I'm going to forgive the best I can in order for me to move forward and not hold this, you know, against you and make this, you know, a real heavy thing on me. And maybe just state it like that. Not necessarily you're saying, okay, everything's wiped clean, you know, all's forgiven. Let's hug, kumbaya, you know, that whole thing. It doesn't have to be like that. You're not going to forget, but just to let go of that feeling like you're, you know, remember you're, when you, unforgiveness is putting you kind of in a prison, putting her in a prison. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So you may want to just think about that. Angelo, actually, we have Jerry coming on right after the break. I would love for him to comment on this. Angelo, hold on just a little bit longer. Everyone else, Catherine, Vicky, Maria, Andrea, hold on. Don't go anywhere. This is a very big topic today on Take Two. We're talking today about that person close to you that is just so hard for you to forgive, right? And we're speaking with Angelo in Wisconsin, and he's sharing a story about his wonderful beautiful wife, Debbie, who went through terminal cancer and passed away. And her sister really wasn't there for them when they needed it most. And Angelo's having a hard time forgiving his sister-in-law. But, you know, we on the break, Angelo, real quickly, we've got Jerry on with us. And also we've got comments coming in for you to pray to St. Maria Goretti, ask St. Maria Goretti to help you forgive. And that is so true. I mean, so she is an incredible saint to go to, St. Maria Goretti. But Angelo, you know, it's interesting. Your name after the angels, right? And I would also ask your guardian angel to give you the strength to face this in a way where you can start the first steps of forgiveness for your sister-in-law, to free you first and to free her. And I would love for Jerry just quickly to comment on this. I mean, this is a painful situation, but you know, the interesting thing is they're sisters, right? And sometimes sisters, when one sister gets really ill, it's very hard on sisters because they're the same sex and it's like, oh, is this going to happen to me? This is too difficult. You know, sisters have a really strange kind of connection as well. I mean, I know you said she was there for her brother, but that's different. It was a brother, but this is a sister. And so it's just interesting, all the family dynamics. I would just love to hear if Jerry has some quick comments.
Well, Angela, I did. I got in on late on the call. I'm at the seminary here, and we had a formation conference, so I'm joining in progress here. But I would just say, Debbie, I think, said the key thing there just a moment ago. Take the first steps. Try to forgive. Say the words, even if you don't feel it, even if you're thinking in your head, in your mind, I don't even mean this right now. I cannot forgive this person. I would say take the first step and just mouth the words. If that's all that you're able to do at this point in time right now, ask the Holy Spirit to let that be enough for now. And then maybe, in a day or two or a week or a month or a year, just go through that same exercise again until sooner or later, I believe, because I've done this myself, Angelo, the Holy Spirit will soften your heart to the point where you'll be able to say, I truly forgive this person completely, totally from my heart. So right. Just maybe take it one little step at a time. What do you think?
I've tried. I can't bring myself to do it. And it's been 7 years, and it haunts me every day.
Mm-hmm. But it haunts you every day because honestly, you don't want that on your soul. You don't want that. It's not worth it, Angelo. It really isn't.
It's so hard.
Right. Pain. But well, when we're hurt and our hearts hurt, it's painful. It's a difficult thing, but look at what Christ did for all of us, what he went through, the pain he went through. So align that suffering with Christ's suffering and ask him to do the heavy lifting. Ask Christ to do it. Angelo, I was hurt so badly, and I mean badly, for 18 years by somebody that I trusted and loved pretty much more than life. And just this morning, I was hurt again by the same person. And I had to go through the same exercise again, like Jerry's talking about, because the last thing we want is to have it on our souls. So maybe if you don't mean it, okay, but maybe eventually you'll start to let God take most of it and you'll start to just let it go. And that'll be so much more beneficial for you and for your beautiful wife, Debbie, and for your sister-in-law. So it's a gift to everybody. We're going to pray for it. And I'll do it too, Angelo. I'll work really hard on this person that I'm having a difficult time, very difficult time forgiving. And you work on your sister-in-law. Let's see where we go and we'll check in, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Angelo.
Yeah.
It's tough, Jerry. It's tough. When you get hurt, it's really hard to say, I'm okay with it, because you're not okay with it.
Yeah, it takes a while to get okay with it. Mm-hmm. And we're talking today about, is there someone you just are having a really hard time forgiving? Please join us, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We greatly appreciate the patience of all of you on the line. Vicki would be up next in Bloomington, Illinois, listening on Catholic Spirit Radio. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Catholic Spirit Radio, and it's so good to be here, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say that forgiveness is a hard thing, I understand. One of the things that I have a hard time forgiving is what was done. And so what I need to remember is that I'm a sinner, too. I've done things, and I've hurt people. And if I want to be forgiven for my sin and the things I've done, when I focus on how I've behaved and what I've done, then I want to be forgiven. And so it humbles me to want to forgive others. Yeah. And also, we're all human and we all sin. So I need to remember that. That's a humbling thing as well. So that helps me in my forgiveness when I remember those things. Mm-hmm. And I don't like sin. I think it's okay to not like sin, because we all should not like sin because of the destructive things that it does. Yeah. It's so destructive.
Vicki, you put your finger right on the key here, and that is we're all human, as you just you said those words. And when it comes to me trying to forgive people for certain things, especially serious things, I do the very same thing that you just described. I look into their heart, into their soul, into their body, their being, their mind, and I say, this is a person who shares my nature. I'm capable of the very sins they have done against me or worse. And so I try and look at that, and I say, Lord, we're all part of this human family, this human nature, which is fallen. It has been redeemed. We need to try to sanctify it through God's grace. But Debbie, I think Vicki has touched upon something very important here. Mm-hmm. We need to realize other people are sinners, and we're in that same category.
Well, Vicki, you nailed it. Okay, how did Jesus teach us to pray? Right, the Our Father, and in the middle of the Our Father, we very quickly say, "And forgive us our trespasses." Oh yeah, please forgive us, God, please. And then it goes on to say, "As we forgive those who trespass against us." So we need to do that. If we're going to ask for that forgiveness, if we're going to ask for that mercy, if we want to be forgiven, we must at least try to offer some kind of forgiveness. Now, God will help us. He will definitely help us. We don't have to be like these miracle workers where we're like, oh, poof, it's all, everybody's forgiven. It doesn't work like that. But we can really do our part, and God can do the heavy lifting. Vicki, you nailed it. Thank you so much for sharing your take on this today.
Thank you so much. And I'll pray for that gentleman.
Angelo. Yeah, me too. And pray for me too, because I'm struggling with somebody right now as well. Yeah, I need all the help I can get. So thank you.
Thanks, okay. Vicki.
Thanks, Vicki. You're awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so we had Susan from Louisiana, who did a great job starting our discussion today, Jerry. And then Angelo came in with his really deep story. And then Vicki shared the just wonderful words about forgiveness. And so now, Jerry, we'll move to Catherine, first-time caller in Texas on Armor of God Radio. Catherine, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, Catherine.
So, with my story, the person in my life and my son's life who, and they're not in our life anymore. They've moved out of the state, but it's my son's father, and he had done a lot of things that were really unforgivable, especially to my son. I've forgiven him for the transgressions that he had done to me, but he's been out of my son's life for a good 10 years now, and my son remembers everything that happened to him. And the hard part that I'm having, and I've tried to help my son to learn to just, you know, to forgive him, because even if he doesn't say the words to him, because he hasn't even talked to him in probably about 9 years, but just to forgive him in his heart, and God will take care of the rest. And he's just like, I can't forgive him for what he's done. He needs to go to hell. And I'm like, well, hon, we don't decide where he's going to go. That's in God's hands. And he's just got so much hate for him. And I don't want him to live with that.
Right. Well, that's a beautiful heart that you have for your son. And I just wanted to ask, how old is your son, Catherine?
He's 15.
Oh, he's 15. Okay, so you've been kind of holding on to this for quite a while. Are there any father figures in his life, a parish priest, an uncle, a family friend, anybody that provides any kind of a father or figure in his life?
My dad, my sister's husband, I try to surround some nice, good, strong men, we've got, he's got a friend from church, his dad is really good, and so, you know, it would be nice if there, you know, was, you know, actual father, but, you know, that's in God's time, so, sure. You know,
well, yeah, I was curious to know, because it's good to have that those influences in his life. I would say, you know, this has a lot of potential to impact his relationship with God the Father, which, of course, we don't want to see that happen adversely, is what I'm talking about, because that happened with me. You know, I never really knew my dad, and it's taken me till about this point in my life to really appreciate who God, my Abba, my daddy, is in heaven. But I would say, you know, keep those influences in his life, and definitely you and maybe him, well, you two of you together, you know, just ask St. Joseph. Start to ask St. Joseph for his help here. He is obviously the head of the Holy Family, the father, you know, the spiritual father, foster father of Jesus. And he you know, Jesus in his humanity, in his human nature, was formed, of course, by Mary, but also by Joseph as his father. So really storm heaven for St. Joseph's intercession right now, I would say.
I agree with that. But Catherine, real quickly, was his dad asking for forgiveness?
No.
No. Wow.
No. His dad was manipulative, and his dad denies that anything ever happened.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
So that's part of it. My son's living with like a sexual trauma and abandonment stuff and everything. But yeah, there's just a whole little mess of things there.
Sure.
So
Catherine,
we've showered him with love for all of that.
Right. Catherine, is he going to any type of therapy or coaching or anything to help him through this at a young age?
We had him in therapy, and he wasn't participating.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, well, we're not making any headway whatsoever, so we're going to kind of stop for right now. So because there really was not any progression. So, because
gotcha.
We were,
gotcha.
Was what the counselor said. So,
Then maybe here's just a suggestion. Okay. This is just my opinion, being a coach for many years I've dealt with this, a few times, actually a lot of times anyway, but Catherine, maybe just ask your son not to get a hardness of heart, right? Where he just doesn't close up and build walls all around his heart. And you know, and just see if you can just keep him, you know, in his teenage years until he fully matures. You know, it's somewhere around after age 25 where you fully will go into a next level of maturity. And just see if you can keep him where he doesn't just close himself off. And even if he can't truly forgive right now, maybe he could just ask God to forgive his dad and leave it alone for now until he matures through this, if he's not getting any help. But I would encourage him, when he's open, to continue with some kind of professional help so he can process through this, because it sounds like he's got a lot of, you know, memories and things that he's endured that he needs to really heal from, and try to figure out how to kind of place it in his adult life as he approaches, you know, his 20s. And so I just would be open for, you know, be ready for that when he's open. And just, wouldn't you say, Jerry, just kind of shelve it, because maybe just at 15 years old, he's still trying to wrap his head around it.
Yeah. Holy Spirit's got his hands full here, but the Holy Spirit's up to it as well. You know, we can be sure of that. So I don't think that was a bad piece of advice at all. I think it was very good advice. Catherine, what do you think about what Debbie was sharing?
Catherine, you with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Were you any thoughts on that real quickly?
I missed what he said.
Oh, he just was asking you when I shared what, maybe just kind of letting it be with your son because he's only 15. Did that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds okay. And I do have one blessing. He is very close to God.
Good.
So
good.
That, That's very good.
Perfect. Perfect. So he's keeping his heart open to God. That's perfect. Yeah. We'll be praying. Mm-hmm. We'll be praying, Catherine, for sure. And maybe we'll, you know, go to the saints. I mean, you got to go to the powerhouse saints like St. Anthony and St. Francis and our newest saint, St. Carlo Acutis. Ask for their help. Surround your son with their help and you ask your guardian angel to go to his guardian angel. Give your son that heavenly support that he needs through these teenage years. But we'll be praying as well, Catherine. Thank you so much for trusting us with this story. And I know, yeah. Jerry, you're going to share with our listeners some interesting stuff.
Yeah, right. Before I do that, Catherine and everybody, I promise you, I'm going on my Thanksgiving break. I'm taking a pilgrimage to some holy sites in Canada, including the Oratory of St. Joseph. So I'll pray to St. Joseph, of course, St. Andre Bessette, who established the oratory, and I'll see the burial site of St. Kateri Tekakwitha. So if anybody, I'm getting dozens and dozens of emails, prayer requests, and I'll take yours with me as well if you'd like to email me at seminaryjerry@gmail.com. So just keep that in mind. I'll be heading up there, like I say, in a couple of weeks for Thanksgiving break. But yeah, we're going to go back to the calls. Just want to tell you quickly about a gentleman by the name of Bear Wozniak. He has a program on EWTN called the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Saturday nights, 6 p.m. Eastern time, he challenges men to deeper conversion and servant leadership. So don't miss the Bear Wozniak Adventure Saturdays. Again, that's 6 p.m. Eastern time here on EWTN.
We hit a hot button with this topic, so let's also for Unscripted, if you don't get on the air with us today, we have Unscripted at the end of the month, and we'd love to revisit this topic because it seems like it's really helping and resonating with others. Maria in Ann Arbor, Michigan on Sirius XM 130. You're up next, Maria. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi.
Hi. Go right
ahead.
Thank
you.
Hi, Maria.
Hi. My husband passed away recently, unexpectedly and suddenly, and he was the youngest of six kids, but he was also the biggest, the strongest. You know, his family tends to be like petite and small, but he was big and strong, you know, the most educated, joined the army, driven, good person. I miss him very much. 10 years before he passed, his one sister, they were all pretty close, but there's one sister that was kind of a bully and has a tendency to control the relationships between the siblings. And in the past, they had alienated one sister who moved out of state. And it was really awful. It was ugly. It was always very critical of that sister, very unkind. And for whatever reason, they decided to do the same to my husband. And this sister just kind of encouraged the rest of them to not speak to him, to alienate him. And he never knew what the source of the rift was. And he did try to find out from his other siblings who would talk to him, but you know, they just don't have the family dynamics of communication of you know, hashing it out and getting to the root of the problem. But anyway, when he passed in July, I immediately called all of them and I invited them to the funeral, to come to Ann Arbor, to Michigan, and to have closure. You know, there was no animosity from me. I'd forgiven them. You know, I'm still hurt that they caused so much pain to my husband. And now that he's gone, there's a lot of regret on their part. And they want to pull me in to lay their guilt on, or to kind of absolve them of it, I guess. And in my mourning, I just don't have it in me. And they keep drawing me in and into their like weird dynamics, and I don't want to play. So I guess my question is, you know, have I really forgiven them? Have I freed myself of whatever resentment I have? If I just want to kind of protect myself because I'm barely hanging on, you know, with this grief. It's weighing on me a lot and compounding. Now I feel guilty because I don't want to get sucked into
sure
their stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so big families, you know, there's family dynamics like that where there's always going to be one ringleader sometimes controlling the family and things of that nature. They don't ever really change, you know, that it's the role that they play in the family. I have one in my family, so I know exactly what you're talking about. What I would suggest, this is just my opinion again, Maria, first of all, your husband passed in July, okay? You need time to grieve. They need to give you space. They need to give you support. They need to give you love, and they need to not draw you in to their guilt or whatever they're doing, because you need your time to really mourn and to have this moment where you can make peace with all of it. Okay. I would just tell them in a blanket statement, hey, you know what? Ask God, you know, for forgiveness. Do what you got to do to relieve your own consciences. But here's the thing. I'm in mourning. Please respect that. And please be very kind to me right now, because I'm trying to be kind to myself while as I'm going through this very difficult time. And I would really ask them to show their mercy to you and their courtesy and their love and their charity to you at this time. You deserve it. And I wouldn't get sucked into it, because I think that's a trap, and that's only going to put you into more of emotional turmoil that you don't need. What do you think?
Thank you. Yeah, I knew it. I know that. I guess I needed a sister in Christ.
Absolutely. Believe me, I've been there, done that with big families. I get it. And you know what? Your husband probably, you know, being the loving, wonderful person that he was and what he went through, God sees all of it. You know, families are not going to get away with stuff. God sees everything. And so your husband probably earned a lot of brownie points in heaven for having to endure what he did with his family. And Maria, just all the peace and love and support from the Take Two family. I put you and your family in the book. So just feel our love, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
God bless you, Maria. We got limited time here. We'll get to as many of you as we can talking about forgiveness. John in San Antonio is up next. John's listening to us today on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but I just was going to say that for many years, I really had trouble forgiving my siblings. I was born into a family of five children, and we were all raised very devoutly Catholic by my mother. My father, he only went to church on Christmas and Easter. He was a bad alcoholic and had some other bad habits. But all my siblings fell away over the years, and you know, I remained a devout Catholic, and I forgave them endlessly. And I mean, you know, Christ himself, he actually put a finite number on forgiveness, you know, 70 times 7 equals 490. So I often thought that to myself. But, you know, I forgave them, and I just found that, you know, the more I did, the more it just, they thought I was a chump. They thought I was a fool, you know, for having that, you know, Catholic heart and being forgiving. And so it only got me further abuse of my own good nature is what I found out. So after my parents had died, I just became estranged from my siblings, and you know, I can honestly say I've forgiven them in my heart, but, you know, people, other relatives and friends and whatnot are like, oh, well, you know, you're nearing the end of your life now, and, you know, you should get back together with them and reconcile with them and be with them. But I just find that I'm afraid to, because of, you know, the way they treated me in the past. And they really never showed any sign of changing at all. You know, I thought somehow they'd become very loving and they changed after my parents had passed away, but they didn't. I mean, if anything, things only got worse. So, I don't know if that's, so have I fully forgiven them? I don't know. Some people seem to think I haven't, because I haven't reconciled with them in person and, you know,
well, John,
decided.
Yeah, for the sake of time, we're going to have the show, close the show here in a moment. But just keep in mind this one thing, you know, there's really two parties involved in forgiveness. There's the one who was offended and the one who, you know, did the offending. You know, you are the one who, you've extended that forgiveness. You do that for you. You know, they have to make, you know, their move in the other direction. So really, when we forgive, we're doing it, yes, for the other person, but definitely for ourselves as well. And, you know, it sounds like you have definitely forgiven from your heart as families, you know, what's the old saying? You know, we can pick our friends, but we can't pick our families. And I think you're right now, the best thing that you can do is probably what you are doing, and that
healthy
is praying
boundaries.
For them. Yeah, healthy
mm-hmm.
Establishing, you know, keeping healthy boundaries, maybe reach out from time to time just to see, check the temperature of those relationships. But we'll be praying for that, John, please. This is not uncommon. We hear about this a lot in this show. So, John, thank you for joining us. Andrea, Irene, Marie, and Christine, we have Unscripted coming up near the end of the month. If you would like to revisit this topic, you can do that anytime. Don't forget, I will take your prayer intentions with me on pilgrimage to the Oratory of St. Joseph over Thanksgiving. Just email them to me at seminaryjerry@gmail.com. Matt, Michael, and Rich were the show team today. Tomorrow, we want to hear from you as we honor our beloved religious sisters. Do you know a religious sister, a nun, you would like to honor on the program? Let's do that tomorrow. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day.